Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, April 6, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. and its allies prepare to impose more sanctions on Russia.
The global bond sell-off deepens as the Fed steps up tightening talk.
Janet Yellen warns the war threatens massive economic repercussions.
And Bank of America pushes for all workers to get back in the office.
The MTA's incoming subway and bus chief focuses on improving ridership and service. Plus, Ivanka Trump testifies before the January 6th committee. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanchar in sports. The Nets beat the Rockets. The Rangers beat the Devils. And Tiger Woods says he's coming back to play the Masters.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via them.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning, adding to yesterday's losses. We're coming up to 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 15 points, Dow futures down 94, NASDAQ futures down 81. The DAX in Germany is down 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 18 32nds, yield 2.61%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.55%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 1.25%, up $1.28 at $103.24 a barrel. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we begin this morning with the latest on the war in Ukraine. NATO foreign ministers are meeting in Brussels while the U.S. and allies work on new sanctions against Russia. Amy Morris joins us with details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Ukrainian officials say Russian forces continue to strike infrastructure targets like fuel storage and grain silos. And Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky made a plea for peace before the UN Security Council, urging the UN to do more to stop Moscow's aggression, saying through a translator that Russia doesn't deserve a seat at that table.
We are dealing with a state that is turning the veto into the UN Security Council into the right to die. This undermines the whole architecture of global security.
China expressed dismay at the killing of unarmed civilians without condemning Vladimir Putin. Russia continues to deny the accusations. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meantime, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is weighing in on civilian deaths in Ukraine. He says the atrocities in Bucha are not isolated incidents. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Secretary Blinken says the U.S. is helping in a thorough investigation and says there must be accountability from the top down.
What we've seen in Bucha is not the random act of a rogue unit. It's a deliberate campaign to kill, to torture, to rape, to commit atrocities.
And Blinken says it will all be documented and reported. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. On the economic front, the war has had a major impact on oil and gas prices. And later today, oil executives go on Capitol Hill to answer questions about those price hikes. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Chief executives of BP America, Chevron, Devon Energy, ExxonMobil, Pioneer Natural Resources, and Shell USA are set to testify before the House Energy and Commerce Committee. The hearing will include both in-person and remote attendees. It comes amid intensifying scrutiny of oil companies whose stock values have climbed along with the price of crude, stoking new congressional proposals for a windfall profits tax. In New York, Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will also be testifying before Congress today on how the war in Ukraine could impact the global economy. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the details. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will warn that the war in Ukraine threatens to inflict enormous economic repercussions. That's according to a copy of prepared remarks that she'll give to the House Financial Services Committee. Her testimony comes as the IMF is preparing to cut its forecasts for global growth. And Deutsche Bank economists said that they now expect a U.S. recession in the next 2 years. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Renita. Turning to markets now, we're seeing the global bond sell-off deepen this morning. Let's get the latest on that live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, the bond rout worsened after Federal Reserve Governor Lael Brainard said the central bank will likely step up policy tightening.
Given that the recovery has been considerably stronger and faster than in the previous cycle, I expect the balance sheet to shrink considerably more rapidly than in the previous recovery.
Well, the prospect of aggressive Fed action drove the yield on the 10-year Treasuries up 5 basis points to 260. Investors are dumping fixed income securities as policymakers move to raise rates in the face of surging global inflation. Global bonds are extending losses this week after completing an 8-month losing streak. That is the longest on record. The strategists say the whole Fed tightening narrative is being moved up in time and magnitude. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, John, thank you. Well, we may get more clues about the future of interest rates this afternoon when minutes of the Fed's March policy meeting are released. We'll also likely to get details of the Fed's plans to shrink its massive balance sheet today.
All right, let's turn to corporate news now, Karen, because we have a takeover bid in the airline industry. JetBlue has offered to buy rival Spirit Airlines for $3.6 billion. The move could potentially spoil an earlier agreement for Frontier Group to buy Spirit. The unsolicited proposal from JetBlue has the potential to reshape the landscape for ultra-low-cost air travel in the U.S.
Well, turning to the pandemic now, Nathan, the push to get workers back in the office is picking up. Now, Bank of America plans to bring all its U.S. employees back by June 1st. We get the story from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
The return to office includes those who haven't been vaccinated against the coronavirus. Sources say employees will still have some flexibility to work from home, but they are being strongly encouraged to collaborate with colleagues in person. Bank executives on Wall Street have voiced concern that junior bankers and traders can't get the same kind of training and mentorship over Zoom that they can from being in the office alongside more senior colleagues. In New York, Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Lisa, thanks. And this could be a boon for Pfizer. Bloomberg News has learned the White House is on the hook to pay the drug maker nearly $5 billion for pills it has already ordered to treat COVID. That means the Pfizer treatment could eat up about half of a scaled-back pandemic funding bill that the Senate is currently debating. Right now, S&P futures are down 17 points. Dow futures down 110. NASDAQ futures lower by 89 points. The 10-year Treasury yield 2.61%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. Sound 507 on Wall Street. It's raining. 45 degrees in Central Park. A lot of accidents because of the wet roads, including northbound Garden State Parkway by exit 156. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Weekday subway ridership in New York City is nearly 60% of 2019 levels. Now the incoming subway and bus chief wants to boost that. Richard Davies says he will focus on how to improve service to bring more riders back.
Safety is absolutely the top priority in the security of our system. I think that's job one.
Davey plans to work with the New York City Police Department and mental health outreach workers to reduce crime.
I did observe riders, you know, standing against walls, for example, or situating themselves near posts or other immovable objects to make sure that someone didn't approach them from behind.
Richard Davey, a former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation official who also ran Boston's mass transit system, will begin his tenure on May 2nd as president of New York City Transit at the MTA. Ivanka Trump has testified before the House January 6th committee. She answered the questions remotely. Chairman Benny Thompson says Ivanka Trump cooperated voluntarily, answering what she knew about the hours with her father, former President Trump, before, during, and after the Capitol riot. Earlier, Ivanka's husband, Jared Kushner, spent nearly 6 hours talking to the committee. President Joe Biden is ordering a new national research push on long COVID. The president is also directing federal agencies to support patients dealing with a mysterious and debilitating condition that includes fatigue and brain fog. Meanwhile, there are more reported cases of diabetes after COVID-19, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
The science is definitely starting to demonstrate this link between people who previously had COVID and increasing rates of new diabetes diagnoses.
Dr. Walensky also says the 7-day average of new COVID hospitalizations is about 1,400 per day, down about 17% over the previous week. Severe weather killed at least 2 people, one in Georgia and another in Texas yesterday. Hail, strong winds, and tornadoes tore across the south. In Crawford County, Georgia, this homeowner describes the moment the storm hit.
I heard, you know, the noise. Everybody says there's a train noise. So It didn't last but about like 20, 30 seconds.
More severe weather is forecast in the southeast today. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. Tiger Woods won the Masters in 2019, finished 38th in 2020 when the Masters was postponed until November. He hasn't played a tournament since then. He didn't play last year's Masters because last year at this time, he couldn't get out of bed. But 14 months after the serious injury suffered in the car accident, Tiger set to tee off tomorrow morning around 10:30. He's been playing practice rounds at Augusta and was asked how he's playing.
Well, I can hit it just fine. I don't have any qualms about what I can do physically from a golf standpoint. It's now walking is the hard part. You know, this is normally not a easy walk to begin with.
He's playing tomorrow with the South African Louis Oosthuizen and the 23-year-old Chilean Joaquin Niemann. Hourly Masters reports throughout the tournament on Bloomberg Radio and a nightly wrap-up show at 11. Kyrie Irving enjoying being allowed to play home games in Brooklyn. 42 points, shot 8 of 16 on three-pointers. The Nets beat Houston 118-105. The Nets needed the big night from Kyrie because Kevin Durant, coming off a 55-point game, shot just 4 of 13. Rangers in New Jersey beat the Devils 3-1. Chris Kreider's 47th goal of the year, 2 assists for Artemi Panarin. He's got 65 assists. Alex Gorgiev's 5th straight win and goal. Islanders lost in Dallas 3-2. The Grapefruit League is over. The Mets lost to the Nationals 14-0. Same two teams set to play the opener tomorrow in D.C. Yankees lost to the Tigers 5-3. Heading to New York, the opener scheduled for tomorrow against the Red Sox. Rain, of course, in the forecast. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Yeah, let's hope it holds off for opening day. Thank you, John. S&P futures now down 17 points. Dow futures down 112. NASDAQ futures lower by 87 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 18, 30 seconds now with the yield 2.61% on the 10-year note. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. It's raining right now, but should end by midday. Breezy, low 50s for highs. Scattered showers and storms tomorrow, mid-50s. Mix of sun and clouds. Chance for another shower Friday, low 60s. Currently rain and 45.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A global bond sell-off is deepening and stocks slumping as investors position for a swift reduction in the Federal Reserve's debt holdings as part of a stepped-up campaign of monetary tightening to tackle high inflation. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 21 points. Dow futures down 136. NASDAQ futures down 99. The DAX in Germany is down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 16.30 seconds. Yield 2.60%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.5%. 4%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 86 cents at $102.81 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $8.40 at $19.35.80 an ounce. The euro 1.0916 against the dollar. British pound 1.3103. And the yen is at 123.75. And Bitcoin this morning lower, down 1.2% at $45,330. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
And good morning to you, Karen. The U.S., European Union, and Group of Seven are coordinating on a fresh round of sanctions on Russia, including a U.S. ban on investment in the country and an EU ban on coal imports. It comes after the discovery of civilian murders and other atrocities in Ukraine towns left open by retreating Russian forces. In golf, Tiger Woods says for now he'll probably tee off at the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia tomorrow, following a 14-month recovery from a near-fatal car crash that almost cost him his leg. Stay tuned for updates every hour on Bloomberg and a special edition of Masters Tonight coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. In the NBA, the Nets and Wizards won. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Devils 3-1. The Islanders and Bruins lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is
Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and our global team coverage of the war in Ukraine continues now. Live in Brussels, we're joined by Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo, where NATO foreign ministers are meeting as we speak as the war continues. Maria, good morning. What kind of further support could we expect for Ukraine from this ministerial meeting in Brussels this morning?
Well, it will definitely be, by the way, it's today and tomorrow, so this is going to be a long conversation, but it will definitely be about the weapons. And I think the thing that we really need to understand, and to me, it is so clear now after speaking to so many different Ukrainian officials, is that Ukraine will fight this until the end. For as long as they have weapons, they will fight. And they will also resist any pressure to go for a ceasefire that they believe is against their interests. They always repeat that. They may feel there's pressure to put an end to this war perhaps quickly. They may feel that many in the West want this done as soon as possible, because, of course, we've seen the pictures and we know the damage that this is doing. We know that it's essentially destroyed Ukraine from the air. And, of course, we've seen those horrible, terrible pictures from Bucha over the weekend. And let's remember, we're probably going to see more pictures like this because the invasion continues. But for the Ukrainians, and they just stress this repeatedly, and it's so important to really understand this. They will continue to fight. They don't want to take any peace deal, and they don't want a quick end to this war if it means that damage is done to Ukraine, but also their idea of sovereignty and Ukraine as a nation state.
Been monitoring headlines, Maria, as Ukrainian President Zelensky addresses the Irish Parliament this morning. He's saying that Russia has not abandoned its plan to occupy all of Ukraine. This comes after NATO Secretary General Jan Stoltenberg said that Russia does appear to be shifting tactics and pushing further toward the east and south of Ukraine in an effort to sort of split the country. What is the sense in NATO right now about the Russian strategy?
Look, I think what we need to understand is that probably the Ukrainians are right, and NATO is also right in this. For the time being, because Russian forces weren't able to take the capital of Ukraine, this is a fortress city, it's been completely sealed by Ukrainian authorities, they're now focused on the east. They're focused on Donbass, and they're focused on the city of Mariupol, which is a port city in the south of Ukraine. The idea here is that they want to create a corridor that would go from Crimea, pass through the south, then go all the way to Donbass, and then connect it with Russia. But again, when the Ukrainians say they may be shifting to the east, but that's not the end of it. What Ukrainians believe is that appeasement is not going to work, because if Russia is able to make inways in the east, they're able to conquer places in the east, it's not an end to the fighting. They will use this perhaps to rearm and regroup, but in the end, they will only use this as a platform to continue their advances on the country. Ukrainians do not see the point of stopping in the east. They repeat this all the time. If Russia is able to secure positions in eastern Ukraine, it won't be the end of it. They're not going to be happy with this, because in their view, what Russia ultimately wants is full control of the country. So they will just do this as a pause to then continue.
And we've also heard warnings in the past from Zelensky that Russia might not stop in Ukraine, that it might have its sights on NATO members that used to be part of the Soviet Union. Is there a concern in NATO right now that that could be part of Russia's calculus?
Look, of course, I don't want to say this out loud because, I mean, at that point, you're talking about a much bigger war. Essentially, it's NATO, it's nuclear weapons, it's nuclear superpowers, and this war would take a much bigger size. But if you ask Eastern Europeans, they say that Russia ultimately could do it if they feel that they have an option potentially to do it, that Russia, of course, wants to exert this sphere of influence in a lot of Eastern European countries. The West always says a lot of this is an exaggeration, perhaps, that a lot of this is a trauma from the USSR and the Soviet Union. So these countries are particularly sensitive, and it doesn't reflect the reality on the ground. But I'm often reminded that many times it's the Baltics, it's the Eastern Europeans that have the first-hand experience of dealing with Russia. So at this point, yes, NATO does not say we feel or we believe there's an imminent invasion on NATO countries. They won't say that out loud for the time being. By the way, this is an invasion that's not going well for Russia and Ukraine. So to think that they're able to conquer and enter other places, frankly, at this point looks very unlikely. They've not been able to succeed in one operation. How could they expand into multiple? But for the Eastern Europeans, this is something that is always in their back of their mind, and they believe that we have to be prepped for every different scenario.
Thanks, as always, for your coverage, Maria. Really appreciate it. Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg News, with us this morning from the NATO foreign ministers meeting in Brussels, which, as Maria mentioned, will be continuing into tomorrow. So stay with Bloomberg Radio for frequent updates of what's coming out of NATO. S&P futures now down 20 points. Dow futures down 134. NASDAQ futures are lower by 98 points. And the 10-year Treasury is down 18/32 for a yield of 2.61%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at philanthropist.nyc.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The U.S. and its allies are coordinating more sanctions against Russia. That's after the alleged murder of civilians in Ukraine. EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen is delivering harsh words for the regime in Moscow.
Humanity itself was killed in Bucha. It was killed in cold blood. Executed with his hands tied and a bullet in the head.
And President von der Leyen with those remarks this morning at the European Parliament. New sanctions will include a European embargo on Russian coal, a U.S. ban on investment in Russia, and tighter penalties on officials and state-owned enterprises.
Well, meantime, Karen, Janet Yellen testifies before Congress today on the economic impact of the war. Let's get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will warn that the war in Ukraine threatens to inflict enormous economic repercussions. That's according to a copy of prepared remarks that she'll give the House Financial Services Committee. Her testimony comes as the IMF is preparing to cut its forecasts for global growth. And Deutsche Bank economists said that they now expect a U.S. recession in the next 2 years. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, turning to the markets now, we're seeing the global bond sell-off deepen this morning, and we get the very latest live with the Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, Fed Governor Lael Brainard said the U.S. Central Bank will likely step up policy tightening. That's accelerated the bond route and drove the yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasuries up 5 basis points to 260. Bonds worldwide have been seeing an 8-month losing streak, and that is the longest on record. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Radio.
And John, we'll be looking for even more clues from the Fed later today when the central bank releases minutes from its latest policy meeting and unveils details of its likely plans to shrink the balance sheet.
Nathan, Bloomberg News has learned Bank of America plans to bring all its U.S. employees back to the office by June 1st. That includes those who have not been vaccinated against the coronavirus. Sources say BofA staff will still have flexibility to work from home, but are strongly encouraged to collaborate with colleagues in person. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down about 22 points. Dow futures down 139. And NASDAQ futures down 108. 10-year Treasury down 19/32. Yield 2.61%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.5%. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Rain, 45 degrees in Central Park. We got two accidents on the Garden State Parkway at exits 83 and 156. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City's incoming subway and bus chief says safety will be one of the focuses on how to improve service. Richard Davey, a former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation official, will begin his tenure on May 2nd as president of New York City Transit at the MTA. Sitting next to Jen Oliber, MTA's chief executive officer, Davey says the riders deserve a better system and want a better one.
I also did see homeless folks sleeping on platforms, and I did see a fare evader.
Richard Davey. The House panel investigating the Capitol riot questioned Ivanka Trump for 8 hours, asking her about recollections of that day inside the White House with her father, former President Donald Trump. Ivanka Trump served as a senior White House advisor during her father's presidency. She testified voluntarily. The siblings of Ghislaine Maxwell say they are profoundly shocked and troubled that a judge has rejected a new trial despite revelations that a juror who helped to convict her failed to disclose he was sexually abused as a child. In a statement, the Maxwell family said it remains optimistic about an appeal before a panel of three Manhattan appeals judges. The statement came days after U.S. District Judge Allison Nathan issued a written opinion stating that she cannot order a retrial in the sex trafficking case after determining the juror did not deliberately give wrong answers on a juror questionnaire. Authorities say one person is dead in Georgia and another in Texas amid damaging storms, high winds, and tornadoes around the South. More than 50,000 homes and businesses lost power last night from eastern Texas to South Carolina. In Crawford County, Georgia, this homeowner describes the moment the storm hit.
I was just standing at the doorway, and then I started hearing that noise and started seeing those trees start to go in a circle. And I just headed back in. I got a little pool table up under there, and I just kind of hunkered down.
Forecasters say more damaging weather is expected today. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower's got the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, Tiger Woods says he's hitting the golf ball well. The hard part will be walking between shots. He says Augusta National, not an easy walk to begin with, let alone for someone 46 years old who has had multiple back and knee surgeries and was in a life-threatening car accident 14 months ago. But Tiger made the decision to make his return at the Masters. He's won the green jacket five times. He tees off tomorrow morning around 10:30 and hopes to play all four rounds.
It's the recovery, you know, how am I going to get all the swelling out and recover for the next day? And my team has been fantastic and worked very hard. So we've got another day of nine more holes, and then come game time.
Tiger said he's excited about the challenge, and as always said, he believes he can win. Hourly Masters updates here on Bloomberg Radio and a wrap-up show each night at 11. Nets in Brooklyn against the Rockets, who are 20-60. Houston hung in the game, getting 66 points from their backcourt of Kevin Porter and Jalen Green. But Kyrie Irving scored 42 points. The Nets won 118-105. The Lakers, playing without the injured LeBron James, lost in Phoenix. The Suns set a club record with their 63rd win, and the Lakers, who won the NBA championship 2 years ago, will not be in the playoffs this year. Rangers beat the Devils 3-1. Islanders lost in Dallas 3-2. Yankees need to bring some extra chairs out to the bullpen. They set their rosters. They headed north. Only three reserves, 16 pitchers. Yanks opener is tomorrow with the Red Sox, weather permitting. The Mets to open tomorrow in Washington. Max Scherzer unlikely to pitch the opener due to the tight hamstring, but the Mets hope Scherzer can make his Mets debut on Friday. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
The New York City Council may make significant changes to its landmark salary transparency law even before it takes effect, including delaying enforcement by 6 months. Last night, council members talked about an amendment that would exempt companies with fewer than 15 employees, exclude certain positions, and move the effective date to November 1st. Open Door Technologies has pioneered a tech-powered spin on flipping homes. It's expanding into the suburban housing markets outside New York City. The company will begin buying and selling homes across Long Island, Westchester, and several counties in New Jersey. New Jersey is the best state for working from home, according to WalletHub, the personal finance website. It made the determination by looking at things like share of population working from home, internet access and cost, cybersecurity, and average home square footage. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk. On 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about a potential bidding war as JetBlue offers to buy low-cost carrier Spirit Airlines.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. March Madness tournament ratings jumped 13% from last year.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Rivian is powering ahead, making around 2,500 electric vehicles in the first quarter, despite supply chain challenges.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on surging COVID cases in the UK as the REACT-1 study shows that March was the worst month since the pandemic began.
I'm Ed Corey on WOAI in San Antonio. I'm reporting Texas-based Dave & Buster's is buying bowling and laser tag operator Main Event Entertainment.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Focused on war in Ukraine, President Biden has paid comparatively little attention to U.S.-Africa relations. Yet deeper U.S. engagement with the planet's fastest-growing continent is essential to global stability. Biden can meet Africa's needs and advance U.S. interests at the same time by focusing on the biggest threat to its future, climate change. That means supporting clean energy on the continent that has the world's richest solar potential, but only 1% of its capacity. The U.S. could also do more to develop Africa's role in the green economy supply chain and take aggressive action to boost its climate resilience. By making climate the guiding principle of its Africa strategy, the U.S. can help Africans build a more stable, prosperous future for themselves and the planet as a whole. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and go. Futures pointing to a lower open on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. It's raining. That should end by midday. We'll be in the low 50s today. Scattered showers and storms tomorrow, though mid-50s once again. Chance for a shower Friday with a high in the low 60s. Right now, rain, 45 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A global bond sell-off deepening and stocks slumping as investors position for a swift reduction in the Federal Reserve's debt holdings as part of a stepped-up campaign of monetary tightening to tackle high inflation. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 28 points this morning. Dow futures down 178. NASDAQ futures down 137. The DAX in Germany is down 1.4%. The CAC in Paris down 1.3%. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.6%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 1.9%. 10-year Treasury down 20 30 seconds, yield 2.62%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.55%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.7%, up $1.77 at $103.73 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25%, or $4.90 at $1,932.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0913 against the dollar. British pound 1.3097, and the yen at 123.86. Bitcoin is moving lower, down 1.3% at $45,270. And today we are watching for minutes from the Federal Reserve's latest meeting out at 2 o'clock Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. China says the reports and images of civilian deaths in the Ukrainian town of Bucha are deeply disturbing and is calling for an investigation. China reported more than 20,000 new daily COVID cases. It's driven by surging infections in Shanghai. In golf, Tiger Woods says for now he'll probably tee off at the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia, tomorrow, following a 14-month recovery from a near-fatal car crash that almost cost him his leg. Stay tuned for updates every hour on Bloomberg Radio and a special edition of Masters Tonight, coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. NBA action, the Nets and Wizards won. NHL, the Rangers beat the Devils 3-1. Islanders and Bruins lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and the Fed once again is in focus this morning. Global bonds are selling off on the prospect of quicker tightening. Let's get the view now from one of the Fed's members, Kansas City President Esther George. She sat down for an exclusive interview with Bloomberg's Michael McKee. Let's listen into that conversation now.
You called for the Fed to be measured and cautious in its policy moves. Does that mean that you would be against larger moves for the time being? Would you dissent against 50 basis points on May 4th?
So I think the way I think about removing accommodation is we have two instruments here. We've got short-term policy rates, and we have a very large balance sheet that are affecting the amount of accommodation in the economy. So it will take thinking about both of those things, I think, as we come to our May meeting to decide what is the appropriate pace, what's the appropriate amount of a policy decision at that meeting.
Well, there are a lot of people on Wall Street who say the Fed's behind the curve, and you've got to go 50 because you're going to lose control of inflation if you don't.
So we know that this policy is as accommodative as at any time when we have inflation this high, when we have labor markets this tight. So there's no question that policy has to be removed. But I think you have to do that in the context of having highly negative real rates, a $9 trillion balance sheet, and thinking about how that combination is going to flow through to the economy. So, yes, we have to be very deliberate and intentional as we remove this accommodation.
Well, let me rephrase the first question. Would you support 50 if that's what the majority wants to do?
I think 50 basis points is going to be an option that we'll have to consider along with other things. And again, I'm very focused on thinking about how the balance sheet moves in conjunction with policy rate increases.
Well, let's talk about that. Lael Brainard, who's in line to be vice chair of the Fed, said that she expects the balance sheet to shrink more rapidly than in the previous recovery, with significantly larger caps and a much shorter period to phase in the maximum caps. Does that summarize where the Fed is going?
So I think when you compare this cycle to where we were the last time we were reducing the balance sheet, and we didn't go very far because of the need for reserves and the decision around that. When you look today at where the balance sheet is and the conditions in which we'll be doing that, I think it easily argues for going faster and moving along at a quicker pace than we did before. We have a ways to go to get this accommodation out of the economy.
Monthly caps of $100 billion sound realistic?
So I think we're still talking about what the right approach would be relative to last time. And again, we're doing that in the context of looking at the size of the balance sheet and the conditions in the economy today, which will likely warrant doing more and going faster than before.
What's your anticipated impact of reducing the balance sheet in terms of a rough equivalent to basis points in a rate move?
So I think it's an important question because we often focus so much on the benefits going in terms of how it pulls duration out of the market, it boosts asset values. I've been looking at some of the estimates that go all the way to 150 basis points effect of that balance sheet on longer term rates. So wherever that is, I think there is clearly going to be some adjustment that takes place, both in asset markets as well as long term rates. And I think when I look at the yield curve, I'm looking at that issue relative to that balance sheet and what effect it's having on longer-term rates, less so around some of the conversation on whether it's predicting a recession.
Well, because you're looking at it in terms of the balance, the Fed pushing down on the longer rate end.
Right. And I think that exists today. I mean, we have $9 trillion sitting there. It is having a downward pressure on those longer-term rates.
That's Kansas City Fed President Esther George speaking with Bloomberg's Michael McKee. Hear more exclusive remarks from the Fed next week when we speak with New York President John Williams. That conversation's coming up a week from tomorrow. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Occupational Safety and Health Administration issued a directive indicating the agency is looking to tighten its enforcement of injury and illness reporting requirements. A regulatory filing by Starbucks shows that General Counsel Rachel Gonzalez has been removed from her role. She will serve in an advisory position until leaving the company next month. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves signed legislation that slashes state taxes and moves the state closer to eliminating its personal income tax.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Thanks, Jeff. Now another legal story we're watching brings us to labor law. A new union pulled off a stunning upset and won 55% of workers' votes at Amazon's Staten Island warehouse. But the union still has a long road ahead. Unions that win LLRB elections typically spend more than a year in negotiations with employers before reaching a collective bargaining agreement. For more on the union push at Amazon, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to labor law expert Kate Andreas, a professor at Columbia Law School.
It's always an uphill battle to establish a union. Over the past few decades, efforts to unionize at the most prominent non-union companies in America have almost always ended in failure. But was this even more uphill than usual?
Well, I think in some ways, these workers had even a greater challenge than in many other contexts because Amazon has been so resolutely anti-union and anti-worker. Amazon has spent millions of dollars on anti-union consultants and has consistently fought very hard against unionization. And so the workers had a significant uphill battle. On the other hand, we're now living in a time of a very tight labor market, and the workers recognized the power that they had. And we saw particularly effective leadership from workers within the facility in building this grassroots union. I mean, the law really is stacked against workers, and it enables employers to campaign fairly viciously against union organizing. And Amazon did that here. And that's why this victory is so stunning and so important.
Let's talk about what happens next at this Amazon in Staten Island, because they're a long way away from a contract. In an emailed statement, Amazon signaled a long legal battle could lie ahead. It said it was evaluating our options, including objections based on the inappropriate and undue influence by the NLRB. What do you read into that, and what can Amazon do at this point?
I mean, that suggests that Amazon intends to continue to fight the organizing effort and not to comply with its duty under the law to bargain in good faith. It is obligated under the law to sit down and bargain with these workers and to do so in good faith. But that suggests to me that they will file multiple legal challenges and attempt to delay and postpone their obligation to bargain. The notion that the NLRB was inappropriately interfering in the election by enforcing the law and filing a suit against what the NLRB believes to be an illegal firing is really a novel and questionable argument. And I don't expect that Amazon will prevail if it decides to bring that argument forward, but it could very well use those legal challenges to delay. And in that case, workers will need to continue to organize and to put community pressure and public pressure on Amazon to urge it to comply with the law and sit down and bargain in good faith.
And that's Kate Andreas, a professor at Columbia Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures moving lower this morning, and still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.